Ancient Worlds, Ancient Nukes, Chapter 7, WMDs, Weapons of Brahmas Destruction. Our saga began when a faceless archaeologist uncovered evidence of ancient atomic blasts that predate modern weapons by millennia. The discovery sparks a search among scholars, entangling various civilizations and their eras across time and space, revealing a hidden noosphere. In Eden, Adam is captivated by divine fire while Egypt seeks power and longevity through Atlantean schematics hidden in their pyramids. The Hebrews wield the Ark of the Covenant, a potential atomic force used at Sodom and Gomorrah, and in the Greek-speaking world, philosophers Socrates and Plato debate the nature of power, facing an ambitious warrior class intrigued by atomic theory. Meanwhile, in Mesopotamia, ancient flames from the sky spark an arms race with Egypt, while ancient India is potentially getting involved with its own WMD, the Brahmastra. The sound of bustling streets, temple bells ringing in the distance, and the soft hum of chanting fills the air. Birds chirp as the sun rises over India's temples, their intricate carvings casting long shadows over the land. In the realms of ancient India, where the rivers flow like veins through the heart of the earth, the Vedic civilization stands at a peak. It is an age of wisdom, of learning, and of great temples that rise toward the heavens. The Vedic texts speak of a time when the gods walked amongst men, and knowledge was seen as a divine gift. The scene transforms to a grand temple, where scholars sit cross-legged, reciting ancient hymns from the Vedas. The sound of chanting is rhythmic, deep, with meaning. A priest remarks to his companion, "The gods have bestowed upon us the knowledge of creation and destruction. The Vedas tell us of the Brahmastra, which can annihilate worlds. But this knowledge is not for men to wield lightly." There is the sound of scrolls being unrolled, revealing intricate diagrams of energy and celestial bodies. At its height, the Vedic civilization is unmatched in its understanding of the cosmos. Mathematics, philosophy, and architecture flourish. Temples soar into the skies while scholars study the movements of the stars and the nature of existence itself. Yet amidst their greatness, there lies a dangerous curiosity, a desire to understand the full power of the universe. The faceless archaeologist and his fellow scholars watch as the Brahmins oversee sacred rituals, their eyes focused on the text before them. The sense of spiritual and intellectual achievement is palpable. One of their revered scholars says, "The gods created the universe with fire, with energy, and in their wisdom they entrusted us with the Vedas to guide us. But there are those who seek to unlock this power for their own gain." And another scholar says gravely, "To seek the power of the Brahmastra is to seek the end of all things." The scene transitions to a more isolated part of the temple, where a group of scholars gather in secret, discussing the mysteries of the Brahmastra, the weapon of the gods. These are the scholars and priests found amongst the Vedic temples. The soft flicker of torchlight casts shadows on the stone walls. In the Vedic texts, the Brahmastra is described as the most powerful weapon, capable of incinerating entire cities and destroying the very fabric of reality. The gods entrusted it to only the most righteous, but even amongst the Brahmins, there are whispers of true potential. The sound of soft whispers fill the chamber as the scholars examine the ancient texts, their voices low and filled with awe. A third scholar, curious, says, if the Brahmastra is real, why has it never been used before? Surely if it was meant for us, we would know how to wield it by now. And a fourth scholar warns, it is not meant for us. The gods themselves have forbidden its use. To wield the Brahmastra is to invite destruction, not just upon our enemies, but upon ourselves. And the third scholar who raised the issue says, but what if we could understand it? What if we could control it? With such power, we could bring peace to the world. We could end all wars and all suffering. The other priests exchange uneasy glances, the weight of the scholar's words hanging heavy in the air. In their pursuit of divine knowledge, the scholars of India begin to question the boundaries of human understanding. The Brahmastra represents not just the power of the gods, but the limits of human ambition. To seek it is to risk everything. The flicker of torchlight intensifies as the conversation grows more heated. The fourth scholar is firm. We are not gods. To seek the Brahmastra is to seek the end. We must turn away from this path before it is too late, and to do it immediately. A swirling wind sweeps through the temple, followed by a deep resonant hum, as a statue of Vishnu stands tall, overseeing the scholars and priests. The atmosphere becomes charged with a divine presence. As the priests and the scholars debate, a presence looms over them. The gods, ever watchful, are not blind to the ambitions of man. Vishnu, the preserver who guards the balance of the universe, sends a warning to those who dare seek the power of the Brahmastra. The sound of footsteps approaching is a priest who enters the chamber, his expression solemn. He is calm, powerful, and says, the gods have spoken. Vishnu, protector of the universe, has issued a warning to those who seek the Brahmastra's power. The balance of the world is delicate, and to tamper with such forces is to seek destruction on a scale we cannot comprehend. The scholars and priests fall silent, their ambition tempered by fear. And one scholar whispers, well, is it true? Has Vishnu himself spoken? And the priest, grave, says, do not doubt it. The gods have given us wisdom, but they have also placed limits on our knowledge. The Brahmastra was never meant to be wielded by men, and to ignore this warning is to defy the gods themselves. India's greatest strength lies in its wisdom, in its understanding that some knowledge is not meant to be pursued. But as the temptation of power grows, so too does the danger that they will awaken forces far beyond their control. There is the sound of wind sweeping through the temple. It grows louder as the priests, chastened by the warning, retreat from their pursuit. The flickering torchlight casts long shadows as the chamber falls silent once more. The third scholar, persistent, softly says, perhaps there are some things we were never meant to understand, and yet why then would we be given knowledge of it? And the fourth scholar looks to cut off the line of inquiry, saying, perhaps that is the greatest wisdom of all. The scene closes with the temple bells ringing in the distance, the soft hum of chants filling the air as the priests and scholars return to their studies, now more cautious of the knowledge that they seek. As those from the future, the archaeologist who is nameless and faceless and his research assistants look on, they notice behavior that is in stark contrast to that of Mesopotamia. In the land of ancient India, where the gods walk amongst men, the line between knowledge and destruction is a fine one, and it is respected. The Brahmastra, a weapon of unimaginable power, lies hidden in the Vedic texts, its secrets waiting to be uncovered. Meanwhile, Mesopotamia and Egypt worked together feverishly to unravel the schematics of the Atlantean plans found in the pyramid, and to also come to a realization about the information that the Mesopotamians have gleaned from the ziggurat. The most compelling issue, however, may be that the ancient Vedic priests, though warned by their peers in Shiva's teachings, still feel compelled to consider a forbidden weapon. Is this mere ambition, or is something greater driving their defiance?